Welcome to the only daily WNBA podcast ever, and it's our first ever playoff preview. The playoffs are in 2 days. We're recording this on the, what's today's date?
Today's Friday the 12th, I think.
And we're excited. The best time of the year and the best league there is out there. The most exciting league to us.
You're watching, I love it.
Yankees get blown out by 15? I don't think so.
I'm pumped. We got eight really talented teams. I like the matchups early on. I have my picks for each round, and I'm just excited. I thought it was a great season. We now have some end of the year regular season awards. I know we're definitely got spicy in terms of we had some clear runaways early in the season. You know, Fisa Collier, who, led the Lynx to one of the best, tied for the best regular season record of all time. She went 50-40-90, which only has happened one time in WNBA history. That person won the MVP previously.
And Deladon.
She's getting ready for a very strong playoff push. You know, she did have that little hiccup where she did sprain her ankle. Not her fault, but she had to miss about 5 or 7 games. And during that time, you have Asia Wilson and the Aces that basically put themselves looking like the strongest team in the league in that time. I think a 16-game winning streak. She's just dominating, having a lot of 30-point games. So, you know, that conversation is one to be had. People become prisoners of the moment. You know, people are saying Asia Wilson's the MVP, but, you know, if you look at that whole picture, I still think Collier was the most valuable player of the season this year.
You know, my MVP, it really, people go, what defines an MVP? Is it the most impactful player? Is it the just best player? And to me, it's the best player on one of the best teams. You can't have a losing record or be out of the playoffs or toward the back end of the seeding and win the MVP. I'm going to keep wanting to say MB3 and MVP in honor of Asia and Fee. But when Las Vegas was toward the 8-7-6, no way Asia could win. She's playing great, but there's no way. They rattle off 16, the second longest winning streak in WNBA history, and they're the 2 seed. Why can't Asia win the 4th MVP? Is there a reason, or is it just because?
Voters are always fickle, and I'm really glad you brought that up as what they're looking for, because if you talk about best player on best team, I do think, you know, Fee really was that for the whole season, but I do think who's more important to their team. If you take Fee off the Lynx, I still think the Lynx are one of the top teams in the league, and I think if you take Asia off the Aces, there's no way that they are where they are, not even close.
I agree. You said if you had a vote, you were voting for...
I would vote for Fee this year.
And if I had a vote, I would also vote for Fee. I think this is the denominator for me. The Aces, and you can't be a victim of the moment, as you said, struggled earlier in the year with Asia. Why? I don't know. But the fact that there was that hiccup with her, and yes, they rattle off 16, doesn't make it a complete season. Fee and the Lynx have been number one from start to finish, dominating the league, really. Fee's the leader there. She's been the girl, the woman there for a few seasons now, and she definitely deserves that MVP.
And just in terms of, like, how rare it is, like, 50-40-90 is an absurd thing to do. Like, it's happened once in the WNBA. I think it's only happened like 5 times in NBA history. Like Steve Nash did it twice. Dirk did it. I think you had Kevin Durant, and there may be 1 or 2 other people, and that's it. Like, it is a very, very tough thing to do.
It is special. I know. I don't know the exact percentages for Asia, but she's sort of right under it. I think she's shooting like 35% from 3.
Which is 40. Great, which is still great.
Yeah, it's right there. The inconsistency in the beginning of the season is the cherry on top that gives the Fee the vote for me. You want to start
off?
I
think Asia also did have an ankle injury, but if I'm not mistaken, she popped back pretty quickly. I think when we went to go see her versus the Liberty a couple months back, she went down and exited in the first quarter. But I think she only missed like two games. And then right after that, there must have been like a fire lit under her because, boy, oh boy, it was like 30-point nights every other night and, you know, win after win after win after win. I think there's a power rankings. I'm not sure if it's ESPN or Yahoo that did it. And they actually had the Aces jump the Lynx the last week of the season.
A 16-game winning streak is nothing to sneeze at. It's amazing that they could have pulled that off after starting the way they did. They ended up 30-14, and the Lynx are 34-10. That's your 1-2 seed right there. And probably, in my opinion, either it could be a finals matchup. Most likely, I think, if you're a betting man, Lynx Aces.
Take a look at the bracket.
Let's start off with the bracket while you're taking a look at that. The Lynx, oh, a tip of the cap to the Connecticut Sun. I think they had an 8-season playoff streak end this year. They've been to the playoff 8 seasons in a row, and the Connecticut Sun, obviously one of the worst records in the league, did not make it this year. So a tip of the cap to the Sun. I know that their team was dismantled in the beginning of the season, but hey, they got
also
they
have a lot of distractions. A lot of distractions buzzing around as well. You know, they're going to move.
Very true.
They did have a great. I'm pretty sure last year, if I'm not mistaken, they beat the Fever in 3 games in the playoffs. Does that sound right? In the best of three?
That's right. Yeah, it did go 3. And I guess we'll talk about how the playoffs work in the WNBA. There's your first round, which is a best of 3. And then there's your semifinals, which is a best of 5. And for the first season ever, a best of 7 in the WNBA finals this year.
I'm pumped about that. You know why I'm pumped about that? If we have a true 2 teams that have great coaches and it really becomes a chess match and, you know, you start making adjustments based from game to game, how to exploit mismatches and like that, that is my favorite. It's like how you draw up going from game 2 to game 3. What adjustments do you make? To me, that's where great coaching is done in those best of 7 series.
I agree. I thought, and then you get some questionable ref calls. You get close games. Last year, the Liberty and the Lynx really deserved a best of 7. That series was amazing, but it was a best of 5, and obviously we all know Liberty pulled through there. But we'll start with the Lynx, and I believe they're playing the Golden State Valkyries.
The Valkyries, we have a 1-8 seed. David versus Goliath, probably one of the strongest teams in the league against a first-year expansion team who seems to have a ton of support and people rooting for them. I'll let you get us started on that matchup.
Yeah, it's the first expansion team ever to make the playoffs in their debut season, and that's courtesy of, I think, Coach of the Year, Coach Nakase. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Coach Natalie Nakase doing her thing, really humble, kind of throughout the whole year, waving players, signing players. They signed Caitlin Chen. They signed Bree Hall. I think Veronica Burton, most improved player of the year. I'm not sure if that came out yet. But the way they drafted and the way they formed this team sort of around, I consider Kate Martin the captain. It was amazing. And the fans all came out. I think their franchise is valued at $500 million.
Unbelievable.
So what a smart move putting the Valkyries in as a expansion team. And it shows. They make the playoffs.
They picked the right city because, boy, oh boy, those fans come out and show out.
I know. A best of 3. It's tough. It's really, you're facing the Lynx. They're a dominant defensive team. They got depth. You got the MVP. And now you have Golden State, which is, you know, has a lot of young players, a few rookies and sophomores. Can they do it in 3?
Can they squeak out a game? Is, you know, that would be a win. If the Valkyries can squeak a game out, I have the Lynx winning in 2. But, you know, if the Valkyries can push it three, you tip your cap to them and you say, what a season. However, if the Valkyries win that series, boy, oh boy, talk about upset city.
That's upset city. You want to place a bet of some pie in the sky?
They're plus 10,000. Plus 10,000.
Exactly. The only way I could see that gate or series going three games is if there's foul trouble. I feel like if Fee or Courtney Williams, some of their main players get in foul trouble, I could see Coach and the Valkyries really amping up in a game two at home, because it's 1-1-1, stealing a game, even though it's at home, but just taking a game from the favorites. And that would be something. The place is going to be rocking for game two.
The fact that that is a best of three and not a best of seven, you know which team that benefits. It's the Valkyries. Because there's, you know, anything could kind of happen in that smaller series.
Mm-hmm.
I think, for the most part, the better team wins in a best of seven.
Very true. And in a best of three, you get a bad foul call, ref. You can't leave it up to the refs, and you really got to just go out there and steamroll the other team. And I think that's what the Lynx are going to do. I don't think the Valkyries are going to have any shot of winning a game. Realistically, it'll be 2-0 Lynx.
I'm in lockstep with you. While we're on this matchup, how cool was it to see the Minnesota Lynx crowd have those the pink wigs for the stud buds? To me, that was awesome. I think if I was at a game, I probably would have threw one on.
The wig on?
I think I would have. It was cool.
Okay. Hey, maybe we get the wigs. For, you know, I'm assuming the Lynx will make the finals. I mean, if the Lynx make the finals, we wear those wigs. What were they? Bob cuts, though? That's what I was confused.
They kind of look like bobs to me.
Yeah, why?
That's a great question.
Like, I want like a short stud bud haircut, you know, like almost like a skull cap of hair.
All right, you want to move on to the next matchup? To me, the 4-5, you know, on the other side of, you know, on the same side of the bracket, I think is one of the most interesting first round matchups. You have the 4
seed. We're going
seed,
4-5 now. Okay.
Phoenix Mercury against your 5 seed. It dropped all the way to 5. Your New York Liberty, your 2024 champions. To me, the Liberty, you know, they're great. They have those all-star players, but they look beatable this year. You know, you have Sabrina maybe go have those 3 for 21 nights. You know, they really got bit by the injury bug. However, they are healthy now. You had Stewie out for a little bit. You had JJ out twice. You had Natasha Cloud. I'm pretty sure she's set to return soon, but they do seem to be healthy now. When they are at full strength, they're tough to beat. But the Mercury are nothing to sneeze at. I think we saw them, if I'm not mistaken, a couple months ago, right? Yeah, I think you grabbed an interview with Sabali. Am I making that up?
Yeah. Sabale.
Sabali,
I believe it's pronounced. The way I remember, Sabali for three, that's how it's kind of in my mind. But German.
To me, this is my toss-up. This is my toss-up pick. I think this series could actually go either way. Even though the Liberty are the 5 seed, I do think they are the stronger team here. And I think I probably am going to go with Liberty winning this series 2-1.
Got it. Yeah, you got Sabale, Alyssa Thomas, Dawana Bonner coming from the Fever halfway through the season. She's the third all-time leading scorer in WNBA history versus a kind of disheveled Liberty team who's injured. JJ, you said it, JJ, Stewie, Cloud. JJ, Stewie getting injured is huge. Are they fully healthy? We don't know. We watched Phoenix play.
I think they're close to 100% right now. You know, they just haven't really had all cylinders clicking for a while, but I do think that they're close to 100% right now.
I agree. A coach of the year candidate in Tibbetts. This team is overperformed, but they do have the players here to, it wouldn't be an upset. It's crazy to say. You were seeing the Liberty at the 1 or 2 seed, but it wouldn't be an upset, but if Phoenix wins, it kind of would be one, especially since they're the defending champs. I'm saying in this series for me, with the way the momentum's heading into the playoffs, Alyssa Thomas is going to go off, and I'm picking Phoenix in three for this one.
Oh, spicy pick.
And the
defending
champs go down. Sorry, Sabrina.
Spicy pick. Time will tell. All right, you want to move on to the 2-7. We have the Aces and the Seattle Storm. This is a kind of an exciting matchup. You have a team that literally has steamrolled the last month in the Aces, you know, winning 16 straight. I do think they continue that. You know, they have all cylinders rolling. I think they win this series 2-0.
It's tough. You got maybe an MB4 coming in, facing a Seattle team that's really had ups and downs. Again, turmoil in the locker room once again with Alicia Clark demanding to be traded when she arrives there. It's just it's a messy locker room. And with the momentum of the Aces going into the playoffs, I can't imagine Seattle winning one game. It's a shame. Skylar Diggins, she says it season after season, this is one of the best teams I've ever been on, but she's not going to see any wins this playoff season. I got the Aces 2-0 and going to the semis.
I'm with you there. Then our last matchup, you know, there's kind of a lot of wind taken out of my sail with this because of the injury bug. We have the 3-seed Atlanta Dream against the 6-seed Indiana Fever. The Fever were just completely hamstringed by injuries this season. You know, they have three of their prominent players out with a groin, an MCL, bone bruise. You even have a trainer that tore an ACL. You know, we're not going to see CeCe come back. So I do think the Atlanta Dream are just going to be too much. I don't think that the Fever have enough firepower, even though they, you know, they still proved that they were able to win some games without a lot of those missing players. I do think that the Dream win this series too.
Yeah, it's a shame that they were hit with the injury bug. The Fever were playing great basketball as the season went on. Better and better. They were meshing better. They really seemed like a cohesive team. And boom, Caitlin goes down. When is she going to come back? It's never. And then Sophie goes down. And then Ari goes down. It's a shame. Kelsey Mitchell was having almost an MVP-type season, and she's just in a team hobbling into the playoffs. The Atlanta Dream, to me, another team that's overperformed going into the season. They got Breonna Jones, Brittany Griner, Ryan Howard, Alicia Gray could be. She was in the MVP talks in the beginning of the season, but I think she's well out of it. But an amazing season for Alicia Gray. They have great defense. For the sake of Coach White, because I think she coached her tail off with all these injuries, I say the series is 2-1 with Indiana winning at home. That crowd's going to be on fire. Come on, Indiana.
I agree with that.
Sophie's going to be yapping. Maybe she'll do a live pod from the game. Who knows? And
you know, you get a very animated CeCe from the bench. I know they went on a 10-0 run the other day. The other team called a timeout, and she's going like this.
So she,
you know, you love to see your, you know, star player even on the sideline being so heavily invested.
Yeah, give me an Indiana win at home against the Atlanta Dream, but once Atlanta goes back, they have a tough arena as well to play in. Atlanta moves on in the series. 2-1.
All right, I like that for our first round pick.
That's a first rounder. We're not going to jump the gun and go to the semis. We'll see what happens. It's a 1-1-1. It's tough. It's just three games in this first round. We'll see what happens. We'll watch.
I do
want
to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Before we sign off, I want to say one more thing. And it goes to one of the regular season awards. Rookie of the Year. You're going to see Paige Becker is win the Rookie of the Year award, and she very much deserves it. She was unbelievable, incredibly efficient. But I do want to give somebody else her flowers. Our Notre Dame alum, we saw her play for the Washington Mystics. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yo, all right, let's take it. I don't know. Am I right with this move, huh? Do I have the people's eyebrow here?
Uh-huh. You dropped the name for me.
A Sonia Citron. All right. Really Citron, setting records this rookie season.
I want to give her flowers because she's not going to win Rookie of the Year. However, her season was good enough to be a Rookie of the Year in the WNBA. It's just that Paige kind of had that type of rookie campaign. I think she set the most points scored for the Mystics in a season. Most double doubles by a rookie. Her three-point shooting was unbelievable. She seemed like a consummate professional in her rookie season, you know, rolled with the punches in a not-so-successful wins-loss column. So I do want to say keep your eye out for that name. She's going to be one of the stars for a long time in this league. Again, I don't think she's going to win it, but I do think she was good enough in another season to win Rookie of the Year in the W.
Yeah, if there wasn't a phenom like Paige Bueckers entering the draft, it would be Sonia Citron. She is the phenom. I think she also set the record for most 10-point games by a rookie in the WNBA.
Mm-hmm. I feel like double-digit. 30,
that's yeah. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, she's an unreal player. If you get to watch her, her efficiency is out of this world and just making right decisions on the court as a rookie. The league's tough to adjust to, and she did it seamlessly.
What was not so seamlessly was what happened at the Chicago Sky end of the season. Let's go where they sit. Angel Reese for her comments for a half of a game, and then she ends up saying she has a back injury. Who knows? But she doesn't play another minute for the rest of the year. You got a lot of outspoken people. Free Angel. The GM doesn't know what to do. You know, she's saying she's a member of the Chicago Sky. You know, unless I hear different, I think those two, Angel and the Sky, are going to be parting ways because I don't know how you recover from what's transpired over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, she threw her team under the bus. I know she didn't name everybody by their name specifically, but she's pointing to positions. She's pointing the finger here and there and to the coach. That's unreal. I don't know what team, if anybody's played any type of organized sports, it's the number one thing. You're a team. That's bottom line. You never point the finger. You all win or you all lose. And Angel did not do that. The team seemed to, you know, react accordingly. And then she, I guess unapologetically, as she likes to put it, sits out the last game of the season. I saw some celebrations for HBL's birthday. She wasn't there. She was, I guess she sat out for that too. It's really disheartening.
She even came out of the tunnel at a different, she came out of the tunnel at a different time from her team, which to me, that's also like something, it's just a little something.
It's ugly. That's a huge trading piece. They got Cardoso, so they really already have a big who puts up very similar numbers, especially this season. I say if you, there's no mending that, you got to trade her, and that'll be fun to see where she lands.
Who knows? Maybe the Liberty will get her. The rich will get richer.
Why not? Yeah. Huh. I feel like the Aces, Asia, Angel, it all, it's just serendipitous, I guess. Or is that serendipity? Asia, Angel. What do you call that when it's like rhyming? Alliteration, not a serendipity. All right.
And I'm strapped in. I'm lucky. I'm excited. Sunday, let's see how these picks do. You know, anything could happen.
Yep. 1 o'clock, you got the Lynx and the Valkyries. This is all Eastern time. 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, Lynx and Valkyries. 3 o'clock, Dream and Fever. 5 o'clock, Mercury and the Liberty. And at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Aces and the Storm. WNBA basketball all day long. Sit back, crack a cold one. And by a cold one, I mean like a Fanta or something, you know? And just have it on all day.
We got Ryan Rucco on the call. It'll be like music to our ears. You bet.
You bet. The only game on a basic cable is the Dream and Fever on ABC. The rest are on the ESPN. I'm sure everybody has every sort of streaming thing. But just a heads up, if one game is different, it's the Dream and Fever at 3 o'clock on ABC.
All right.
All right. On that note, we'll do this again. I know we do this daily, but we'll do it again Sunday. Is that allowed? What time is
it? Yes. Yeah, we're the only daily WNBA podcast.